Well, good morning, everyone. It's Pastor David here again on Sunday, the 23rd of May, as we enter the summer period. And today, we're turning once more to John chapter 21, which begins by reminding us that Jesus appeared or revealed once more to his disciples the glory of God. And so we come together to exalt his name, the glorious God of the Bible. Loving Father, we come together to worship you, the only true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We bow before you, bring to you our honour, our praise, our thanks, and our gratitude for such great grace, amazing grace and love. And we ask that God, the Holy Spirit, will move amongst us as we meet together in this way, that you will move our hearts in gratitude and thanks and worship. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, can turn to John chapter 21. We're going to hear Vicky, who I mentioned, and you'll remember her visit to us. I mentioned her last week. Vicky now is going to read these verses to us.
John 21, verses 15 to 25. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If you want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is it to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written.
Thank you, Vicky. Good to hear from you, and we're looking forward when the building is opened up shortly. We're looking forward to being able to invite you back to visit us with John and the family. So this is our penultimate message in John's Gospel. There are many more lessons, I'm sure, but here's another one for us as we see Jesus dealing with an issue in Peter's life and then appointing him for vital service in the kingdom of God. And you note that I say that this is Peter being appointed or commissioned for this vital service. And I'm not saying that Peter here is being forgiven and restored. You often see that at the heading in your Bible, Peter restored, but that's not really what's happening here. If you turn back a page to chapter 20 and verse 20, we read this. After Jesus had said this, he showed them his hands and side. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And this is, of course, where Jesus appears to his disciples in that locked room. And he gives them his peace. And then he breathes the Holy Spirit on them. And of course, that breathing of the Holy Spirit, we understand as the Holy Spirit being given to them in some kind of anointing, some special way that brought a very deep sense of Christ's peace to them. Because this was not them receiving the Holy Spirit. That didn't happen to God's people until 40 days later at Pentecost. But the point here for us in these verses, in chapter 21, is that Peter was in that room with the other disciples in there in chapter 20 that I've just read. Peter was there with them when Jesus appeared in that locked room. And they all received Christ's peace, all received his blessing and forgiveness. So here in chapter 21, Peter already knew that Christ had forgiven him for that horrible betrayal, and as with the other disciples, had set him on a path of service. Jesus said to them there in chapter 20, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." So what's all this that's happening now in these verses in chapter 21? Well, Jesus knew that Peter needed to see that following him being used in God's kingdom means giving and surrendering more of your life, more of Peter's life than he'd given so far. And brothers and sisters, we will need to see that same challenge from God's word ourselves, to make us aware of things in our lives that need dealing with before God can use us in his service. And so verse 15 there that Vicky read to us in chapter 21, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" And that's the first clue. Did you spot it? Because Jesus uses Peter's old name, the name that Peter had before the Lord called him to follow him, before he was tasked to become a fisher of men, to be seeking to bring people to Christ. Three times Jesus calls Peter here Simon. Nothing wrong with the name Simon. It's just the point that's being made, of course, that Jesus is challenging him with his former name, because Peter hadn't completely left his old way of life and his old way of thinking behind. Bits of it were still deep in his heart. And so Jesus asks, "Simon, do you truly love me?" "Yes, Lord," says Peter. "Lord, you know that I love you." And of course Jesus did know that Peter loved him. But the point is that Peter didn't know and hadn't accepted what loving Jesus truly means. Because loving Jesus is not some kind of fondness for him or a feeling you have in your tummy. It's not an emotional thing. Emotions are involved, but that's not what loving Jesus truly is. Jesus is calling Peter to an agape love. Love that puts Jesus first above yourself and everything else. It's a love that is sacrificial. It actually costs. It's a love that will cost Peter everything, even his life. And so at this point, Jesus is saying, "Yes, Peter, I know that you love me in a way, but you don't love me truly. The love you have is a shallow love. It's a feelings love. You still love yourself far more than you love me. And you proved that when you betrayed me, because you were looking after yourself." And it's at this point, as Jesus points these things out to Peter, that Jesus calls Peter to be a shepherd to the people that he just died for. Jesus' sheep, his children, people we know, of course, now as Christians. Peter's not being appointed by Jesus to be a great leader or to hold some kind of high office. He's being appointed to be a shepherd. Actually, I suppose there's no, well, I don't suppose, I know that we're told in the scriptures there's no higher calling than that, to care for Jesus' people. Jesus calls Peter to care and to tend and to feed and to guard, and not to lose any of Jesus' children under his care. And so important is this, that Jesus repeats it three times, because Jesus knows Peter still hasn't really accepted the shallowness of his love. And we note that Jesus doesn't ask Peter the question, "Do you trust me? Or do you have enough faith in me?" No, no, the key for Peter and the key for us is this simple question. "Do you love me?" says Jesus. Do you love Jesus in the way that he's speaking of? In other words, more than you love yourself, Well, Peter didn't love Jesus more than himself. He still had his plans and his fishing and his business and his safety. These were more important to Peter than loving Jesus. And for Jesus to use Peter in this vital kingdom task of caring for his sheep, Peter had to surrender. To love Jesus in this different way, this giving away of his life plans to Jesus. You see, when Peter denied Jesus, it was not a failure of his faith. It wasn't a failure of trust. It was a failure of love. Because this deep love for Jesus loves to the end. And you know, Christians can love Christ, but love him only as a saviour who's going to get them to heaven, but never truly love him that would enable them to surrender to Jesus as the Lord of their lives. Still hold on to their lives. They still control their lives. Still have all their plans for the future. Still invest so much in their pleasures. Each day is theirs to live and enjoy. Jesus' question comes to you and me through his word this morning. Do you love me? Not just with a feelings type or a fondness or a glad to be saved kind of love, but with a surrendered life love that will cost. You see, a person who truly loves the Lord in that costly way, and of course none of us will ever be perfect in the way that we love, but a person who loves Jesus in that way, then of course trusts him. Trust and faith follow love. Peter would never have denied Christ if he had truly loved him with a surrendered life. He would have said as he was challenged around that fire, what can these people do to me that my Lord can't deliver me from or sustain me through? So with this agape type love, Peter would have looked beyond himself to Jesus, and he would have never have betrayed him. It's just the same with us. The Christian who truly loves Jesus and surrenders their life over to Jesus says when things happen in life, say for instance when that job opportunity comes along that will solve all the money worries, but of course to take it would without any doubt at all mean no more active coming along to church or involving yourself in serving Jesus in the church. But true love for Jesus in that kind of situation looks beyond that and looks to him first. Jesus is the most important person to the one who surrendered their life and truly loves Jesus. So the question comes to me and to you, am I living to serve me or to serve Jesus? Now, I don't be silly about these things. Of course we have to have jobs and income. They are important. And of course, the promise is that Jesus will help us when we put him first. But Jesus never, never leads us to a place where your relationship to him and your service with him will inevitably diminish. So don't kid yourself when you think that Jesus has opened up this wonderful opportunity that'll solve all your problems, but it will mean that you'll never be able to get to church anyway. You'll have to give up doing this at church. And that's not Jesus leading you. He never leads us to a place where we remove ourselves and become further away from serving him and following him. And so the call from these verses is to honour Jesus, and the promise is, if you do, you have nothing to fear. You will be kept and held in the hand of the Lord. How very fearful and faithless we can be. Things, simple things like, we convince ourselves that if we take our stand for Jesus with our family and their plans, which always seem to happen on a Sunday, if we take our stand and say, but Sunday is given over to following Jesus, and I always want to be with God's people in church, but the little niggles come into our minds to say, oh, well, if we do that, it will upset them and turn them away, and they'll never listen. And so we betray Jesus, who promises us that all things work together for good, if only we put him first. The promise that he gives us is that loving him first means that we will have nothing, nothing else to fear. There's no other way to be blessed by Jesus than to trust him and obey. Peter, be a shepherd and die for me, says Jesus. And 30 plus years later, Peter did. But he never denied his Lord ever again. And in this very last recorded teaching miracle of Jesus, the word from Jesus to Peter and the word to you and me this morning is to constantly look above your own life in this world to life with him. Honour him. Deepen your love for him. Surrender more of your life. And look onwards to that day. And it's not going to be long for some of us. Perhaps not for all of us. That day that's coming. And we have this opportunity now to work, to serve, to love. And then on that day, to hear Jesus say to you personally as he looks into your eyes, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the place that I've prepared for you. Amen. And so, in our closing song, we say to our Lord, what else can I do? What else is there in this life that's better than this, than to kneel and worship you and bring my whole life an offering of worship to you?
Chose to be.